Okay, today's daf chaf beis. So we got at the bottom of chaf alef and beis. The Gemara was talking about the different aliyahs on different days of the week. It happens to be Rosh Chodesh today. So now we're talking about Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed. So Gemara is going to figure out how exactly should the lading take place in Rosh Chodesh like today. So Gemara says last four lines of chaf alef and beis. By minei ula bar Rav may Rav. They asked him Rav the following question: Parshas Rosh Chodesh Ketzah. How do you split up the Rosh Chodesh lading? Hey, Ketzah Karnasa. Tavitz b'nei Yisrael, v'marta alem, es karbini lachmi. That whole section, that parsha, consists of the having tamni psukim, eight psukim. And then afterwards you have to read about the Shabbos, the two psukim, and then a few psukim about Rosh Chodesh. But that first section of the karbon tamid is eight psukim total. Hey, chenavid, well, how should you split this up? Nikrei trei, if you read tshuli as rishon, and sheni, tlasa, three and three each. So that, the problem with that is, then Pashalu Trey, you have two psukim left over, and there's a klal, V'ein Mishayrin B'Parsha Pachas Mishlosh Psukim. We don't leave off less than three psukim at the end of a parsha. So here we have two psukim left over, that won't fit. So the Gemara then says, okay, so maybe Nikrei Arba Arba, so then you should read four psukim, Rishon should read four, and Cheney should read four, and that totals the eight, so that covers that. Problem is, Pashalu Shiva, you have seven psukim left over to read for Rosh Chodesh, but Yom HaShabbos Havin Shrei, that's two psukim of the Yom HaShabbos, that parsha. Ubrash Echad Sheichem is Havin Chamisha, that's five. Hey Chinavid, how do you split those seven psukim up with the two final aliyahs? So Shrei Mehav V'Chad Mehanach, if you want to do two psukim of Yom HaShabbos and one pasuk of Rosh Echad Sheichem, this week it'll be three psukim of an aliyah. The problem is, Ein Maschilin Meparsha, Pachas Mishlosha Psukim. You're not allowed to start a next parsha less than three psukim. So every parsha that you end must have three psukim at the end, and every parsha you begin must go three psukim into that parsha at least. So the Gemara says, Likre Trei Meha V'Tlasa Mehach. If you read the two psukim of Yom HaShabbos, and then three psukim of Rosh Echad Sheichem, so now you've read three psukim into the next parsha. The problem is, Pashlu Trei, you have two left over of the five psukim of Rosh Echad Sheichem, and that we said you can't leave less than three psukim at the end of a parsha. So you're stuck here. So what do you do? We know what how we paskin, but there's actually a machlokas, what a person should do on Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara answers, Amr Lo, Zu lo shemati. I didn't hear what to do about this, which itself is fascinating because you imagine they experienced many Rosh Chodeshim throughout their life. But either way, zu lo shemati. I didn't hear what we do for Rosh Chodesh, but kiyotzi bo shemati. I heard something similar. What he means is he's trying to think of a proof. I know of a proof that's explicit in the Mishnah. That is very clear. That's the Mishnah Masechas Tainis. We saw this last Masechta. That's how the Mishnah tells us, by Yom HaRishon, when it came to the Mamados, they were delaying the different psukim parshios of Bereishis. So B'yom HaRishon, day one of the Maimed, they read Bereishis, Vahirakiyah. They read those two parshios of Parshas Bereishis. V'tanila, and the Braisa comments on this Mishnah, Bereishis Bishnayim, they would read the pasuk of the Parsha, rather, Bereishis in two aliyahs, and Hirakiyah would be Echad, would be one aliyah. V'avinam Ban, the Gemara tries to understand how that works. Bishma Hirakiyah Be'echad, Ditzlas HaPsuk Ava. I understand how Hirakiyah can be read as one aliyah, because that is a total of three psukim. El Bereishis, Bishnayim, how do you read the Parsha Bereishis as two aliyahs? Chamisha Psukahava, it consists of five psukim. How do you split five into two? V'tanya, the Braisa says, Hakori Ptora lo yivchos mishlosh psukim. You can't read less than three psukim. So three and two, two and three, no matter how you slice it, one of the aliyahs is going to have less than three psukim. That's not going to work. And the Gemara says, how would they deal with this pasuk of the Parsha Bereishis to split into two aliyahs? There's a machlokas amarayim vitmar Allah, Rav amar doleg, Ushma amar posek. Rav says doleg. Doleg means to, usually means to jump and skip the sukkah parsha. Posek means to jump over to doleg, but here it means to repeat. You repeat the third pasuk. You read Aleph Beis Gimel for Rishon, and then Sheni you do Gimel again, Dalet Hey. That's what Rav suggested. And Shmuel amar posek. No, pasuk Gimel you actually split in the middle. So you read Aleph Beis and half of Gimel. That's enough for three pasukim that's needed. And then you read Gimel, Dalet, and half of Gimel, Dalet and Hey. So Gemara explains, what does machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, whether or not you repeat pasuk Gimel or you split pasuk Gimel in half? Rav amar doleg. Rav felt you repeat pasuk Gimel. My time, what's the reason? Lo amar posek. Why didn't he agree with Shmuel? Dividing in half would have also been good. You don't have to repeat any pasukim, any words. So ko psuka de lo pasuk Moshe aner lo pasuk Gimel. We have a klal that any pasuk that Moshe did not make an interruption, he did not split, we ourselves can't split. So you're not allowed to stop at points where Moshe Rabbeinu didn't stop. So to split in half would go against this rule. Ushmul amar paskinale. So Shmuel said that we would paskin, we would posek, we would divide a pasuk in half. But how could Shmuel tolerate separating a pasuk in half? V'hamar Rabbi Chananya. Rabbi Chananya pointed out, Kara tzar gadol hayali. He had a terrible pain. Eitzer Rabbi Chanina hagadol. When he learned by Rabbi Chanina gadol, v'lohit yelo lipsok. That he only gave a heter of dividing psukim up when you're teaching little children. Why was that? Since it was to teach them, and if you teach them a whole pasuk, it was too much for them to handle, you have to break them up by words, word by word, so they can understand the words and the taich and the pasuk. There was only a special heter for the tinokos shebeis rabbim, but in general, we don't divide psukim up. So how could Shmuel suggest to divide a pasuk in half when it came to parshas Bereishis? And so the Gemara says, "My hasam time amai mishum delo efshir." By the children, it was impossible. You can't teach children at their age full psukim at a time; they're not going to understand. So for the children, it was makom she'efshar. Here as well, hachanami when it comes to parshas Bereishis, nami lo efshir, was impossible. You were stuck. You had five psukim to split into two. So since it's makom efshar, there's another heter to split in half. So then the Gemara says, "Shmuel amar posek Shmuel who paskins to divide the pasuk gimel in half of parshas Bereishis." My time alo amar dolig. Why didn't he say to repeat the pasuk? So he says because gzeira mishuma nichnasim mishuma yotzim. He was concerned that people would come late or people leave early wouldn't understand. In other words, if let's say a person they read Halav Beis Gimel like Rav said, and that guy walked out of shul early, he would think, oh, the next guy only read two aliyahs, or vice versa. A guy comes in late, he comes in for Shani, and Shani's reading Gimel Dal Hey. He would think, oh, Cohen probably only read two psukim. That was wrong. So in order to avoid that confusion, he said, read Aleph Beis and half of Gimel. So that when you walk in, you realize only half a pasuk was read, and the other half will be read by the other person. That was Shmuel's understanding. So now the Gemara says, Meisiv. We have the following question from the Braisa. Parsha shel shishi psukim. If you have a parsha that has six psukim total, kona so b'shaim, you're allowed to read it and split into two liyas, three and three. If you have five psukim, you can only read one person. Only one aliyah, you can't split it in half. So, kara rishon shlosha, let's say, happens to be they made a mistake and the kohen only read three psukim of the five pasuk parsha. Hasheni kara shnayim, the second guy has no choice. He has to read the remaining two psukim, parsha zu, viachami parsha, there's only one from the other parsha, but yeshomer in this way paskin, it has to be at least shlosha from the other parsha as well, totaling four. The fishein maschil ma parsha pachas mishlosha psukim, because we say that you cannot begin the next parsha less than three psukim. Now the Gemara says, wait a second. If it's five psukim and we say only one person could read the aliyah, why only one person? Didn't we just make suggestions before that split it between doleg or posek? Vimis, if it's really true, the man damar doleg nidlog, the man damar posek nifsog. Why didn't Rav say, just like above, you could repeat? Why not take the five pasuk parsha and do al beis gimel and then gimel dal hey? Two people can read that parsha, or have like Shmuel and read al beis half a gimel, then half a gimel dal hey. Why was that not suggested? Must be Rav and Shmuel are incorrect. And so the Gemara says, no, shiny hasam to efshir. Over there, it's possible. Meaning by the Bereishis, you were stuck. You had to only read Bereishis and you hear a kiyu. You couldn't read anymore. This Bryce over here is talking about you have a whole parsha, all parshas bo to read. If you happen to come across a section of parsha bo with a five psukim, we don't say split it up in two. There are many more psukim to read in the entire parsha of 100 plus psukim. So therefore, this is only b'dievet if a person's stuck in Malkum Yivshar, then you can rely on the heterim of five psukim either going doleg or posig. But when there are many more psukim to choose from the overall parsha, we would never rely on such a heter of doleg or posig. So then the Gemara says, shiny hasam to efshir b'hachim. So Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Amar Rabbi Shuben Levi, halacha ki yesh omrim, we paskin like the yesh omrim, that you're not allowed to begin the next parsha, you need to at least have three psukim into the next parsha. Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Amar Rabbi Shuben Levi, kishem shein maschilin b'parsha, pachas mishlosh psukim, just like you cannot begin a new parsha less than three psukim into that parsha, so too on the backside, kach ein mishayarin b'parsha, pachas mishlosh psukim, so too on the back end, you can't leave less than three psukim before the end of a parsha. That's obvious. Hashema aschalasa the kamekil tanakama machmir yeshomim shir the machmir tanakama lo koshkein the machmir yeshomim. Let's read that a little bit clearer. It's an obvious point that, of course, that if you can't begin with the psukim, certainly at the end you shouldn't either have the psukim. Gemara says again, Hashema aschalta the beginning of the Krisa Torah. The kamekil tanakama, but tanakama says you're allowed to begin less than three psukim, but machmir yeshomim, the yeshomim say you have to begin with at least three psukim. Shiur, the leftover, the end of it, the Machmir Tanakama, the Tanakama says that you have to have at least three psukim at the end. Certainly, Kol Koshken, the Machmir Yeshomer. Certainly, Yeshomer will be Machmir as well to have three psukim in the beginning. And Gemara says, no, not so true, not so obvious. So, Mal, the same, what would I have thought? Nichnasim Shrichi. It's very common, people come in late. People come in late, and therefore, there's not so much a concern of people walking out late. But Yotzin, Lo Shrichi, the Manche Sefer Torah V'Nafki, no one's going to walk out early. So there's no real concern of people walking out early. So maybe there's only a chumrah on the beginning end, not on the end. On the beginning, not on the end. Kamashalam, we're still concerned both on the Nichnasin and the Yotzin as well. So Gemara then says, Tanakama, Maishna, how come the Tanakama, what's the difference that in the beginning, Shiar Lo, they didn't think that the beginning of the pasuk, that the beginning, they allowed three psukim in the beginning, but Shiar Lo, but at the end, they did not allow less than three psukim. At the end, you have to have at least three psukim. Bishim Yotzin, because people might leave early and think that we didn't read three psukim for the next aliyah. Ashkelonami, even the ones who begin, the ones who come in late, Gzerim Mishim Nechnasim, shouldn't you be concerned that people are going to come in late and not realize that the psukim beforehand? So the Gemara says, Amri, man da'ayel shayel shayel. The guy who comes in, and he realizes that they're beginning from Pasuk Beis, let's say, the Parsha. And they're going to think, wait a second, that means the previous guy probably only read one Pasuk, but he didn't realize that they read a whole Parsha beforehand, plus one Pasuk into the next Parsha, but he's around in Shul. So ask a question, what happened? Why were they only reading one Pasuk the previous Leah? They said, no, they read the whole Parsha beforehand, plus one Pasuk into this Parsha. They read at least the Pesukim, don't worry about it. But the guy who left, he left shul, and there's no one for him to ask questions to. He's going to walk out thinking that, oh, they read three psukim into this next parsha. There are only two psukim left over. He walks out early, and he assumes that they probably only read two psukim for the final aliyah. But he didn't know they read two psukim of that parsha, and then another few psukim from the parsha afterwards. But he has no one around. He's ready on the subway going to work. He has no one to ask the questions to. And that's why the chacham are only concerned on the back end, not on the front end. And the Gemara says, Shalach la le rabba braid the rabba, the Rav Yosef, he sent the following shiloh. Halacha ma'isa, how do we paskin when it comes to the Kriyas Torah of Mamodos? Do we paskin doleg or do you paskin posek? And the Gemara answers, Shalach Lei, they sent back to him, Hilchasa doleg v'em tzai doleg. And we paskin that you repeat the pasuk, and it's the middle pasuk that should be repeated, which is what we do, of course, for Rosh Chodesh as well. So now the Gemara says, towards the bottom here, of the medium wide lines here, Zeh klal, the kol sheyesh b'musaf. We said any day that has musaf, so there's an extra aliyah. So Gemara wants to know now, what's the din when it comes to Tainus Tzibur? Ibarilu Tainus Tzibur bekama, how many liyas should a Tainus Tzibur have? Do we say, Rosh Chodesh umoe dika karban musaf arba? Rosh Chodesh is a karban musaf. Chol Hamoed is a karban musaf, so we add on an aliyah. Aval hacha deleka karban musaf lo. But by Tainus Tzibur, there's no special karban musaf, so it should be three aliyahs. Odoma perhaps hachanami ika musaf tefillah. Although there's no musaf, a karba musaf, there is an extra tefillah that's recited in Tainus Tzibur, and that perhaps should warrant a separate aliyah, a special aliyah as well. So Gemara says, let's try to prove this from the Mishnah, whether or not there's an extra aliyah on a Tainus Tzibur. Tashma, the Brisus, and the Mishnah says, B'rashi chadashim v'cholashim ma'arid karin arba. So we can learn from this, we can infer that only by Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed are there four aliyahs. Ha, but Tainus Tzibur, there's only shlosha, so must be three aliyahs for Tainus Tzibur. The Gemara says, "Ema Reisha," but look at the Reisha. The Reisha says, "B'sheni, b'chamishi, b'shabbos, b'mincha, karin shlosh." We only read three aliyahs. It doesn't mention Tainus Tzibur having three aliyahs. Does that not imply hot Tainus Tzibur must be arba? So you have opposite implications from the Reisha and the Sefer, and the Gemara therefore says, "Ela meha leka the Mishnah mina." We can't conclude anything from our Mishnah because Tainus Tzibur has opposite implications from the Reisha and the Sefer. So Tashma, the Gemara says, let's bring from the following ma'isa. The Rav, one time Rav was visiting Ikle, the Bavel Tainus Tzibur. He happened to pay a visit to Bavel. It was a Tainus Tzibur. And come Kara B'Sifra, he was reading from the Sefer Torah, Pasuk Baruch, Chasim V'loch Baruch. He opened up, said a bracha at the beginning of his aliyah. He didn't say a bracha at the end of his aliyah. We'll get to all the zitas in just a moment. Nafal Kulyama An Payu. Everybody did Nefias Apayim. It was a typical day of a Tainus Esther, Tainus Tzibur rather. Rav Lo Nafal A'apa, and Rav did not do Nefias Apayim. So Gemara says, wait a second, we'll get back to the Nefias HaPayim in just a moment, but let's talk about the bracha in the beginning, that aliyah that he had. He had a bracha in the beginning, but didn't say bracha when he finished the aliyah. Why is that? So Gemara says, Michli, let's understand, let's analyze this for a moment. Rav B'Yisrael Ka. Rav B'Yisrael, he was not a Kohen, he was not a Levi, he was read, it was number Shlishi. Now, my time of Chasim V'lo Baruch. Why Chasim V'lo Baruch? Why did he not say bracha when he concluded his aliyah? La Mishim Debay L'Mikrei Acharina Basrei. Is it not because that there was someone going to read after him as well? Must be there was a Revi, and this is a Tainus Tzibur, so you bring a Raya that you have a Revi on Tainus Tzibur. Where it says, lo, not true at all. Rav the Kani Kara. He was actually read as a Kohen. How could that be? He wasn't a Kohen. The Rav Huna Kari Bekwana. Rav Huna was also called as a Kohen, even though Rav Huna was not a Kohen, but they called him in the first Aliyah. Why was that the case? So Marsha Bishma, I understand why Rav Huna Kari Bekwana. I understand why Rav Huna was called for the first Aliyah as the Makum Kohen. The Filu Rav Ami Rav Asi, the Kohani Chashiva Dar Yisrael. Even though Rav Ami Rav Asi were Kohanim in Eretz Yisrael, they were Micha Kaifu Le Rav Huna. They were Kaf of Rav Huna. They machnir themselves Rav Huna. And therefore Rav Huna played the role of a Kohen, even though he wasn't a Kohen, but he was an Adam Chash. He was a Gadol HaTorah, Gadol HaTorah. He was a Gadol HaDor. And therefore he gets called the first Rishon, as Rishon. Now there's a big discussion in general, we're not going to get involved in the Gemara and Gittin, that Kohen is really not allowed to be Mocha and his Aliyah in the base Knesset, it leads to fighting, but could be when there's someone who's clearly the Gadol HaDor, you're allowed to. So Rav Huna we get. Rav Huna, everybody was kafuf to Rav Huna, and that's why he got called as Kohen. El Rav, Ha'ika Shmuel de Kohana Hava, but Shmuel was a Kohen b'daber Allah, and Rav showed incredible kavod to Shmuel. So the only time a Kohen can be mochel is the Kohen himself is machni himself to Gadol HaDor. But Shmuel was a Kohen, Rav was not a Kohen. As great as Rav was, Rav showed incredible kavod to Shmuel. So Shmuel wouldn't be mochel in his kavod to let Rav get the first Aliyah. So how could Rav get called at the first Aliyah? Rav says, no, the truth is, really Shmuel Nami Michaf have a Kohen Flight L'Rav. Shmuel was really Machni himself to Rav. Yes, Shmuel was a Kohen, he was Mochel, he really, Rav was greater than Shmuel, and Shmuel showed incredible respect. If that's the case, so then why did Rav show incredible respect to Shmuel if Rav was really greater than Shmuel? And Gemara says, he really didn't. He only did partially. Rav, who da'avrilei kavod, when Rav showed kavod to Shmuel, v'chi'avrilei befanav, it was only in front of Shmuel, just in his presence, he showed a little bit of kavod to Shmuel. Shlo befanav lo avrilei, but when Shmuel wasn't around, he didn't show so much kavod. So we see from here that really Rav was greater than Shmuel, and therefore Rav was called as the Kohen. Now the Gemara says it makes so much sense why he was called the Kohen, because the Gemara said above that Rav said a bracha before the Aliyah, he didn't say the bracha at the end of the Aliyah. Now if he's called as Yisrael, he wouldn't be saying a bracha only in the beginning and not at the end. This only makes sense if he's called as the Kohen, would he say the bracha in the beginning? And that's what Gemara says now. It's very logical to say this, the Rav the Kohen Kari, that he was called as the Kohen Aliyah, because if you said he was called as the Yisrael, lefaneh my time of Baruch. So why would he say the bracha before him? Which is, that's not a problem. Lacha takana. Maybe this is after the takana, where we said every single person who gets the Aliyah should say a bracha beforehand and a bracha afterwards. So that's not a problem. So maybe really he was called as a Yisrael, and he said a bracha before him. But if he said a bracha before him, then he should also say a bracha afterwards then, if it's really talking about he got Shlishi. Ihachi, lachar anami livrach. Maybe if he's really talking about he got Yisrael, and he said a bracha before Yisrael because it was after the takana that every Ola said a bracha before and afterwards, so why did he not say a bracha afterwards? And the Gemara says, I've got an answer for this one also. Maybe he didn't say a bracha afterwards for the following reason. Because shiny heicha the yasir Rav demail Eili, because when Rav would come, people would come in, and when he saw Rav was there in shul, mifek lo nafek, no one would leave. You see the Gadol HaTorah, Gadol HaDor is here, you come into shul, no one's walking out early. In other words, the only reason why we said you say brachas before and afterwards, because nechnasim yosim, people might not know there's a bracha before and there's a bracha afterwards. Once you see Rav was there, so there's no more takana. So once they saw him, he was there, people stayed there, and there's no concern of not having, of needing to say a bracha after the fact. That's the chiddush of the Gemara. So Gemara now says, top line of Chav Beis Amud Beis. Tashma. Zach, Klal, this is the rule. Kol sheyesh bo bitul melacha. Whenever there's a bitul melacha, la'am, people are going to, it's going to take away from work. Could go in time to tzibur, but tishu b'ava, karin shalosh. In other words, whenever there's a heta to do work, we have to go to your job, so we don't want to have a tircha de tzibur. We won't add another leil along. So since time tzibur, people after they daven, they go to work, and tishu b'ava as well, the minag is not to work, but even though it's only a minag, but place where they would work, so you could go to work on Tisha B'Av, so you would not have an extra Aliyah. We don't want to take away from their day work. So Karin Shlosh, you only read 3 days of work. Three Aliyahs, rather. V'shein bo bitum lacha, when there's no bitum lacha la'am, which means that there's an isam lacha, they're not going to work, so then you're allowed to actually extend the laning. The kigon rosh chadashim v'chal shemoed, Karin Dal, you would read 4 Aliyahs. The extra Aliyah is not impacting everything because you don't go to work on Chol Moed, nor do you go to work on Rosh Chodesh. So what do you mean you don't go to work on Rosh Chodesh? So take a look at Tosas on top here. Tosas right, Shashen Ban, Ben Bitum Lacha, Kigon Rosh Chodesh, Vikarn Arba, Vikasha. That would pack Ain Dorshin Bechagiga, Amrina Rosh Chodesh, Yochich, Jeshba Karim Musaf, Umutter, Bessius Malacha. The Gemara clearly states that you're allowed to do work on Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara says, Vieshlomar, Divadai Mutterhu, Bessius Malacha, La Nashim. Certainly men are allowed to go to work About nashim asuris b'malacha, women took upon themselves not to do work in Rosh Chodesh. The fishal parku and his man b'maisa egel as a celebration for the fact that the women did not willingly take off their gold and silver or the gold and the jewelry to give it to the egel zav. So as a celebration of their unwillingness to be part of the egel zav, they became Rosh Chodesh became a yom tov for them, and they don't do a certain isser malacha. So there's a shtickle isser malacha that exists in Rosh Chodesh, even though it doesn't really impact the women. They're not going to shul. The men are, but somehow that was enough of a reason to add an extra aliyah in Rosh Chodesh, and we don't view this as a bit of malacha. So back inside the Gemara now. Gemara says, either way, we see from this Braisa clearly, Shmamina, that you read three aliyahs for Tanis Tzibur. That was the whole point. Again, the Braisa started talking off any day with this bit of malacha, like Tanis Tzibur and Tishvav, we only read three aliyahs. So that answers the question we started with, was how many aliyahs are in Tanis Tzibur? Here we have it, it's three aliyahs. So now we're five lines down. The Gemara says, Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says, we don't have this in our Mishnah. Zek klal, kol yom sheish ba musaf, veino yamtif, karun arba. Any day that there's a karun musaf, and it's not a yamtif, we read four. La suye mai, la suye tanis tzibur v'tishabav. So this extra statement in the Mishnah, is this not coming to include that tanis tzibur and tishabav do in fact have four aliyahs? And furthermore, so wait a second, Ravashi, Masis and Mani, who authored the Mishnah according to Ravashi then? So what does more mean by this? It says lo tanakamba lo rabbi Yosef. We're about to see now, neither one could have been the author of the Mishnah, that if you hold, if according to Ravashi, who thinks now that this extra statement, the klal, is coming to include Tanis Tzibur for four aliyahs, now our Mishnah doesn't really make any sense. Why? The Tanya, the Baraita says, chalios, when it comes to Tishbav, when the Tishbav falls out, on biyom sheni biyom chamishi, the din's current shloshi, read three aliyahs, a maftir echad, and there's one maftir. And then, when it comes to Shlishi Raviv, it falls out on Tuesday and Wednesday. Kare Echad, Umaftir Echad. You have one Aliyah, one Maftir. So Rabbi Yossi argues in Tanakh and says, Omer Liolam Koren Gimel, Umaftir Echad. And you read always three, and one of them is Maftir. So according to him, this Brisa never says it's either three Aliyahs or one Aliyah of Tisha B'Av. No one suggests that it's four Aliyahs, according to Ravashi. Again, Ravashi said that this Zeh Klal, that any day that there's Musaf and no Yom Tif, that there are four Aliyahs, that includes Tanis Tzibur and Tisha B'Av. But this Braisa, which has two Tanaim that say either three aliyahs for Tisha B'Av or one aliyah. No one says four aliyahs, so you can't suggest that Mishnah is coming to include Tanis Tzibur and Tisha B'Av. There are no four aliyahs. So Gemara says, Ella Hakasha. The question is, Zeh Klal. So if that Zeh Klal doesn't come to include Tisha B'Av and Tanis Tzibur, then what does it come to include? So Gemara says, La Suye Rosh Chodesh, La Suye Rosh Chodesh, Remoid, that these days you read four aliyahs. I said, what do you mean? You don't need a drasha for that. You don't need a limud for that. Or a ribui. Ha behedya katanila. It says explicitly in the Mishnah, Barashe chadashim umoed karin arba. So it says that these days you read four leaves. You don't need a zek klal to include that. It's mentioned explicitly. So Gemara says, simana ba'almayav. So they just wanted to give a simon. You're right. This statement of zek klal with a musaf and no yantif, it's not really coming to include anything, but just giving us a simon, a marker, so that we shouldn't forget. So Gemara says, Simana ba'amayav, the lo tema, we shouldn't say the yamtif of the chal shemoid, ki adade ninu. Maybe one would have thought you should lump together yamtif with the chal shemoid. And just like yamtif is five aliyahs, so to make chal shemoid is five aliyahs. No, don't think that. When there's karbi musaf, but there's no yamtif, the klal is four aliyahs. And it's not coming to include Tanis Tzibur and Tisha B'Av. Tanis Tzibur and Tisha B'Av only have three aliyahs. So Gemara says, Ella, in order to not confuse this, knock it high klal b'yad. They hold on to this rule in your hand. Call the tafilei milsa mechaveri, anything that has an additional factor, an additional yomtiv, additional kari musaf, that means tafilei gaver yisera. There's going to be, with each added factor, each added chumra, with an added musaf, added yomtiv, there will be an additional liya. So Hilchach, the Gemara explains what this means. Rosh Chodesh, umoed, dika kari musaf, there's a musaf that's extra than a standard day. A standard day, there are three aliyahs. Here, these days have a four, a kari musaf, so therefore you read a arba, you read an extra liya. B'yamtiv, which has an additional factor, which also the aser b'asiyas malacha, then you add another aliyah per additional chumrah, which is chamisha, that gives five. B'yom kippur, which is an additional chumrah, the anush karis, there's the ishah karis we know, then therefore you add shisha, and Shabbos, which has the most chumrah, the dika iser skila, which is more severe than karis, that you add shiva, you have a total of seven aliyahs. So that's how you have that progression. And the Gemara Mishnah is simply giving us a guideline so that we don't forget, but not to come to include Tanis Tzibur again. Tanis Tzibur is simply that there are going to be three aliyahs. So Gemara now says, halfway down the Amud here, Gufa. We said above in Amud Aleph, Rav Ikle the Bavel of Tanis Tzibur, he was visiting the Bavel and Tanis Tzibur. And come Krabba Sifre, he was reading from the Sefer Torah, Pasach Baruch, Chasim Velo Baruch, He made a bracha before the aliyah, and then no bracha afterwards. We had 2 days, whether that meant he was a Kohen, or really as Yisrael, but he did not need to make a bracha afterwards, because nobody is leaving. And then, this is our focus now, Nafil Kulyama on Payu. Everybody did Nafias Apayim, they fell on their hands. The Rav lo Nafil al Ampe, Rav did not. So my time, a Rav lo Nafil al Ampe. Why didn't Rav lean down? So the Gemara says, Ritzba Shavanim Haisa. There was a, shul is made of stone. The Tanya, the Pasuk says, the Evan Maskis lo Sitnu Bar Techem the Shachos Aleha. So you cannot bow down on, or this, you can't bow down on any stone. You're allowed to bow down on the marble, the stone floor in the base of Mikdash, but not in a shul, so it's not allowed. So that's why you couldn't bow down. So the Gemara says, Kedula, Damrula, but also tell El Ritzba Shalvanim Bilvad. So there's only Usher of Ritzba Shalvanim. Either way, we see that if it was carpet, you're allowed to bow down. But either way, there was a stone floor, he couldn't do Nefias Abayim. Now, before we get to the answer, just a second, why everybody else was allowed to do so, if Rav couldn't, so no one else should be able to do so, they asked the question, three, Evan asked the question, why did they bring a brice here? The Pasuk explicitly says, Evan Maskis lo sitnu abayim techem l'shachav saleh, don't bow down stone floors. So what's the brice of making a drush here? What's the chiddush of the brisa more so than the pasuk? You can't bow down on stones. So Turi Evan says one would have thought that maybe this iser would only apply in Eretz Yisrael because it says ba'artzachem. The brisa says don't think it's only true in Eretz Yisrael. Even in Bavel, where Rav is visiting Bavel, the same iser applies as well. That's the chiddush of the brisa. So that's why Rav couldn't bow down. So Gemara says ihachi. If that's the case, because the floor is made of stone, so then my iria Rav. Why it was only Rav, the only one not bowing down, leaning down? Afilo kulinami. Everyone else should not have done the fifth time either. And the Gemara says because kame de Rav have because only from a Rav there is stone floor. Everybody else had wood or carpet. Dafka where he was sitting, there was stone. He was up in the front where the Rashi Yeshiva sit, where the Rabbanim sit. So he had stone. That's why he couldn't do this. So then the Gemara says, okay, so maybe he should have lazel lagabe tzibura v'linpal. He should have walked back a few steps to where everybody else was sitting, where there was no stone, and could have done his fierce pile with everybody else. And the Gemara says, no, a person has to be very sensitive because, where you go? I'll pay. Gemara says, lo bai limit chech tzibur. He didn't want to be machech tzibur. What that means is, Rashi says, if he walked around, everybody would stand up from everywhere he would go. And he did not want to be Machiach the Tzibur, so therefore he stayed in his place and did not do the Nefias Apayim. That's the first answer, that his in front of him was stone. Nobody else had stone in front of them. So then the Gemara says, Ibar Eis Ema, another Pshatism, Rav, Pishya Daim Raglaim Hava Avid, Ukadula, that the Rav, when he would do Nefias Apayim, he wouldn't just lean on his arm, he would actually put his whole body down, lied on the ground. And Kadula, as Ula says, Amar Ula, Lo Asu Torah Ela Pishya Daim Raglaim Bilvad. When it comes to that, the Isser bowing down on a marble and stone, it's only true when you put your whole body down, like what we do in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. When it comes to stomping your hands on your arm, that's not Bechal the Isser. So since Rav had this practice of a Pishya Daim Raglaim, only for him was Asser, but everybody else who simply leaned on their arm, that was entirely Mutter. So then the Gemara says, okay, so maybe Lipol Al-Apay L'Lavid Pishya Daim Raglaim. Very simple solution. So maybe in that shul, Rav should have just leaned on his arm and not have to do the whole Pishya Daim Raglaim, and it would have been allowed. Gemara says, "Love Mashanami Minhage." He had this minhag he did, and he couldn't change the minhag. It's either yes or no. He either did it or he didn't do it. But to have some type of compromise, Rav was not willing to change his minhag. Then the Gemara says, "Ibai same." Alternatively, perhaps the third solution is as follows: the reason why Rav not bowed down is because Adam Chashiv Shani. When it comes to Adam Chashiv and doing the Nefias Apayim, it's very different because there's a klal. Kid Rabbi Elazar, Damar Rabbi Elazar, Ein Adam Chashiv Rashai Lipa Apanova. A Adam Chashiv is not allowed to lean on his face. Elam Kane Nena, unless he's going to be certain, he'll be answered. Yeshub Benun was answered when he did Nefias Apayim. When Adam Chashiv, he expects to be answered, he puts this intense form of davening by leaning down. And he should only do this, he should only be machni himself if he knows for sure he'll be answered. Rao is an Adam Chashiv, but he wasn't sure he'll be answered. He wasn't on the level of Yeshub Benun, and therefore he's uncomfortable. He shouldn't have been doing this Isser, not this Isser. He shouldn't be leaning down because, as an Adam Chashiv, you don't do Nefias Apayim unless you have this certainty that you're going to get answered. So now the Gemara says, Tanya Rabban. Now we've been talking about this bowing down. The Gemara goes to Brice of different types of bowing. So Tanya Rabban, the Brice says the last few lines of the Amud here, that Kida, Gemara explains Alpayim. When a person just bends his face, their face towards the ground, that's called Kida. Shinamar says, Vatikar Basheva Apayim Eretz. That only when the face is down, Apayim, that's what's called Kida. And Kriya, when you use the Lashon Kriya, bowing down, Aberkan, that means going down the knees onto the ground, just like it says, Mikroa al Birkov. That Mikroa, Machriya always means on the knees. And a shachver, and they use the lashon of a shachver, that always means pishi yadayim raglan, that means spreading out your hands and your feet. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, havo navo ani v'imcha, v'achecha l'shachos l'cha'arta, that refers to on the arts, on the ground, the entire body is lying on the ground. So Gemara says, Levi, one time, achve kida, kati the Rebbe. One time, Levi was showing, he was showing what it meant to do a kida, which means like putting your face down, itle, and he got injured, he became limp, or something happened in his leg. So because he was showing this, it was apparently inappropriate what he was doing, and he was saying he kind of used his thumbs to put his hands on the ground and his face towards the ground, and he got injured when he was doing this. So Gemara says, "V'ha kagarmile," this is what caused him, because he was trying to show them what a kida was. V'hama Reb Elazar li'olam al yatiach adam devar klapi mal. A person should never speak with the disrespect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Sherei adam gadol. There's a great person once. Yatiach devar klapi mal. He spoke in such a way to Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'inla, and he got injured, but he hurt his leg doing so. And that was the punishment. Umana, who was this Adam Mechashiva? It was Levi. So you see, it wasn't that he did the kita that caused this injury, rather because of the way he spoke to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And where it says, Hava Karmulai, both them in tandem somehow contributed to this injury that he had. So let's quickly recap what we did today. We start talking about how one breaks up Rosh Chodesh, the Psukim, and you do you have to repeat, or you split it in half, and we pass like Rav that you dole, you have to repeat a pasuk along the way. Similar to way was done by the Maimados of Brachos, that you take Brachos, which is five Psukim, and the third pasuk you repeat as well. The Gemara spoke about how we have a hard time, a person should never split up any pasuk unless there's a great need, such as Tinokos Shabbos Rabban, so that she should learn, and any other instance where there might be a heter of breaking up, it has to be for a great need in order to split a pasuk in half. Then we discussed this is only true the heter of five Psukim in half if you're really stuck, but if the other options, other psukim to read, never would you rely on either breaking up or repeating a pasuk. We discussed what about Tanis Tzibor, how many aliyahs, and we paskin that three aliyahs for Tanis Tzibor as well. We had the Maase of Rav that he was visiting, and above all, he had the bracha before and the bracha afterwards. Either he was read as a Kohen, even though he wasn't a Kohen, but everybody viewed him as the Gadol Dor, so he was allowed to be read as a Kohen, just like Rav Huna, even though he wasn't a Kohen, he was read as the first aliyah. And then the Gemara said, maybe he really is read as the Yisrael. The reason why I didn't say bracha afterwards, because once they saw Rav was there, nobody was leaving shul, so there's no need for another bracha of afterwards to the concern of those who would not hear the bracha, because they all stayed for the end. So then the Gemara says, we spoke about the different aliyahs on the time Sibor and Tisha B'Av, and then the klal was that anytime there's an Adar Chumrah, there's another aliyah. So when there's a Yom Karim Musaf, there's four aliyahs. When there's Issa Melacha, there's five aliyahs. When it's Yom Kippur, Karis, there's six aliyahs. And Shabbos, Issachar, there's seven aliyahs. And then we spoke about the three answers of why Rav did not do Tefillas Apayim, either because there was marble in front of him, or because he did Pishat Daim Raglaim, which you can't do on marble. Others didn't do it, that's why they're allowed to do it. Or because Adam Chashuv is shiny, that he's not allowed to do it in Tefillas Apayim unless he knows for sure he won't be answered. And then finally, we defined what Kida meant on the face. Kriya is on Birkayim, and the Hashachva is Pishi Adayim Ragayim. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day and a good Chodesh.
So, on the case that, on the third,